Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
And welcome to The Point of Pittsburgh. This is Nathan Ruggles here with you. Thanks so very much for joining us here today. I'd like to recognize the IBEW Local 5 as well as the Operating Engineers Local 66 for supporting this program. Well, it's my pleasure to have in studio here with us our historian here in Pittsburgh, Charlie McAllister.
Good to be here.
And former Vice President of SEIU, the International, Rose
and
Mitchell.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Nathan.
Well, it's always great to have you two in the studio. So we're talking about latest news here in Pittsburgh. And Rosemary, there was a bit of a protest in downtown.
Yes, well, right, I'm hoping that our listening audience here in the Pittsburgh listening area caught some of the news last night where it talked about and portrayed the protest of two women that went to the Grant Building there on Grant Street, chained themselves to the front door of the Grant Building, and in protest of Mr. Toomey, who has his offices there in that building, on his work on the tax cut bill that's really going to wipe away so many social service programs that 99% of us use, and also the fact that that there's all this attack on regulations governing the climate. And they basically said the reason we're here is for our children. And since we spent last week talking about the tradition, the proud tradition of women and children leading the charge on protests social justice and what is right issues with the Rankin Bridge when it opened in the early 1950s.
I think at the time we talked about how inspirational that could be, right?
Yes.
Well,
right, exactly. And
we
here's
see it.
Lindsay Disler and Chelsea Engler, God bless them, continuing that tradition of those Whitaker women that insisted that sidewalks be added to the Rankin Bridge for the safety of their children. Well, thank Lindsay and Chelsea for protesting yesterday on behalf of the children who are going to be victims of the air quality and the water quality of our city, of our region, of our nation, unless we do, in fact, take into account what is happening for the climate, as well as the horrendous tax bill that is going to affect their children's lives, the rest of their lives, including whether or not they want to go to college, or are they going to be able to afford college, since cuts are going to be happening for higher education, as well as K-12 education, as well as the threat to chip the health program for children.
That they have not renewed.
It not being renewed, as well as student loans and just a host of other programs that are going to be impacted as a result of his wrong vote. And while they didn't address this issue in their protest yesterday, I would like to point out to all of us, all our listening audience, that we have a United States Senator here in Pennsylvania that wants to promote a tax giveaway to a college in Michigan, Hillsdale College. Now, what interest does serving the interest of a Michigan college have in terms of an impact to any college in Pennsylvania, or for that matter, any constituent in Pennsylvania? How would giving and taking the time on the Senate floor and having a special amendment to be only applicable to one particular university in this nation, that our U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania messing in the politics of Michigan, the state of Michigan, I mean, it's a violation of, I mean, if you're a Republican out there, listener, you should be outraged by your Republican representative being messing in the politics of another state, because isn't a Republican position that we're all about states' rights and that Pennsylvania's constituents should care about what's happening in Pennsylvania, not necessarily about what's happening in Michigan.
Well, and two, has he done something similar for universities in Pennsylvania?
No, no.
And is it no accident that this is a, I know personally from writings that regularly come out of this institution that I look upon and check out, an extremely conservative institution?
Well, there you go. I think you found the answer, is because Hillsdale College, that's the name of the college that we're talking about, Hillsdale, that's located in Michigan, is a very conservative institution.
Private institution, let's be clear.
That is supported by Betsy DeVos, a billionaire, and the Koch brothers, who are billionaires, that promote conservative interests. And it turns out that under the current law that will impact every Pennsylvania college and university that has an endowment over $500,000, it turns out that all of those endowments of Pennsylvania colleges over $500,000 will be taxed. And but to exclude the tax provision for Hillsdale so that they could save $6 million, our United States Senator is the shepherd of this amendment, because evidently Betsy DeVos and the Koch brothers can't persuade the Michigan U.S. senators to advocate that position, that Hillsdale should be treated differently than every other college and university in the United States.
Including those in Pennsylvania.
Including
those in
Pennsylvania.
That will still be subject. That is absolutely incredible. Meanwhile, of course, you still have the situation with these tax bills here, these plans coming forward, where graduate student income will be subjected to income tax, which will absolutely ruin students and make it impossible for them to go to graduate school. As
not
well
only
as
their income, but also their tuition waiver is
going to
be
exactly.
counted as income,
that's
which
right.
it
that's,
never
excuse
was.
Me, that's right.
Which, given the cost of tuition, is often quite a bit more than they make in their stipend.
That's
so
right. That's
you're
right.
talking about almost wiping out the stipend on behalf of, it's just a vicious, vicious step against higher education for working people.
On issues of being able to write off. And college loan interest,
right.
changing the payment. So the students that who enroll in the programs to be able to forgive their student loan by serving in nonprofit and in government positions, no longer being able to take advantage of that program, all that being taken away, yet Toomey finds the time to not just vote for, but promote a amendment specifically for some college in another state.
Right. And by the way, Bryn Mawr and Swarthmore could have been included in that amendment that he submitted on behalf of this Michigan college, but neglected to do that. So I don't understand it. I mean, here's a United States senator that had the opportunity to represent colleges and universities from a standard for which he's advocating for one, a college in Michigan.
Well, I would venture to guess one of two things. Either you follow the money for his campaign contributions and somehow that leads to Hillsdale, or two, they have a speaker series at Hillsdale, which I wonder if he's on the docket with a speaker fee coming up at some point in the next year or so. But, you know.
We need to find that out. But the basic point,
the point is
we have a United States senator not advocating for graduate students that are under tremendous pressure for tuition payments as well as for interest deductions on their earnings for tuition interest banking loans. He ignored them, but yet he can advocate for this very wealthy private college in Michigan. And I think that shows where his interests really lie, which is in his donors and or his potential employer, so to speak, if he does receive a speaking fee.
So, or this just ideological viewpoints as opposed to his own constituents. Right?
But if it were purely ideological, then why wasn't Bryn Mawr and Swarthmore included as well? So there we are.
Good questions. Good questions. All good questions. All right. Well, that's not everything to be said, because
true.
We will be coming back, but we do have to take a break. So this is Nathan Ruggles here with Rosemary Trump and Charlie McAllister, La Pointe, Pittsburgh. We'll be right back.
The U.S. Supreme Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments today in Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, a case that will determine if Jack Phillips, the owner of a Lakewood bakery, was justified in refusing to make a wedding cake for a gay couple because of his faith. Craig Conneth, an associate professor at the University of Colorado Law School, says the court's decision could have broad implications for anti-discrimination laws in Colorado and across the nation.
What this law and laws like it do, they're basically trying to address that history of discrimination and protect LGBT individuals in a range of areas. So if they want to go to the doctor, a grocery store, or a restaurant, this law prevents them from being kicked out.
Colorado law prohibits businesses like Masterpiece from discriminating based on a range of characteristics, including race, sex, nationality, religion, and sexual orientation. Phillips' lawyer claims the baker is an artist and should not be forced to express what the government dictates. An amicus brief filed on behalf of 20 states and a brief from the U.S. Justice Department make similar arguments. Conneth disagrees and says a cake ordered at a bakery serving the general public does not represent the expression of the shop owner.
When I hire a baker, when I hire someone to make a billboard, I'm not hiring them to give their speech. I'm hiring them so that my speech can be expressed. So I think that they're wrong in saying that this is the baker's speech as opposed to this being the couple's speech.
In the Colorado Court of Appeals 2015 ruling, justices cited a 1964 challenge to the Civil Rights Act where a court ruled that a business owner could not refuse to serve black people based on religious beliefs. Justices said Phillips could voice his opposition to gay marriage on a sign or on the store's website, but picking and choosing customers based on their sexual orientation was against Colorado law. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Somos la Unión Internacional de los Panaderos, Confiteros y Trabajadores de Tabaco y los Molineros de Grano luchando por los trabajos americanos. Nabisco, fabricante de marcas icónicas como el Oreo, Ritz Crackers y Chips Ahoy, ha ganado la fortuna en América y su respuesta patriótica ha sido enviar los trabajos americanos a México. Como resultado, los consumidores en los Estados Unidos siguen boicoteando los productos hechos en México. Ingresos corporativos han bajado en todo Norteamericana, los consumidores están enviando un mensaje muy fuerte y claro. Ahora los líderes religiosos de todas las religiones a través de los Estados Unidos están pidiendo una investigación del modelo de negocio de Nabisco y han programado un tour de 6 ciudades para investigar el asunto de manera más profunda. En el mismo momento en que las negociaciones de NAFTA están en la mente de todos, la comunidad religiosa comenzará a hablar de los trabajadores, los políticos y otros líderes religiosos con la intención de discutir el exilio de trabajos por Nabisco desde una perspectiva moral y ética y publicarán ampliamente sus hallazgos. El BCTGM y su socio Justicia Obrera Interconfesional piden a toda la gente de fe y conciencia social que se unan a esta lucha contra la explotación por Nabisco de trabajadores en los Estados Unidos y México. Millones ya están boicoteando los productos de Nabisco hechos en México y ya está afectando sus ganancias de la empresa. Únase a nuestra lucha por la justicia moral y económica. Únase a nosotros en www.fightforamericanjobs.com. www.fightforamericanjobs.com.
And we're back here with The Point of Pittsburgh. This is Nathan Ruggles here with you. Appreciate you joining us here today. Our thanks going out to the United Mine Workers as well as the AFGE for all their support for this program. It's my pleasure to have in studio with us Rosemary Trump. Rosemary.
Good to be here. Thank you so much, Nathan.
And Charlie McAllister.
Great to be here.
Now, Charlie, we have this issue of that's cropped up time and again, but once again, the idea of this corporate secrecy.
Is public secrecy on behalf of corporations. I mean, the whole Amazon bid and the fact that a lot of political entities have made their bids public, but City of Pittsburgh and the Allegheny County are refusing to say what they offered, which makes you think there's probably a lot of things in there that would cause some irate Pittsburghers to be upset with it.
That's so right. To attract this corporate headquarters.
Exactly.
This alleged corporate headquarters that Amazon's shopping around.
50,000 jobs, and which would definitely have a huge, huge impact on a city the size of Pittsburgh. And it seems to me that the central issue here, obviously, is an old one, but one that is leering its ugly head in on all kinds of levels, is the public costs being carried to develop properties, bring it utilities, roads, et cetera, and private profit of the most profitable corporations who can come in. And I know Rosemary's just dying to tell how Jeff Bezos is suffering out of all of this, but
I'm sure he is. But go on.
But that that private gain is subsidized by public giving up of taxation, and what is outrageous to me, and I didn't even know this could happen, but I knew that they would give up like taxes to the corporate taxes to the public entity, the city and county, to get people to come in for 10 years, 15 years, whatever. No taxes coming
right.
in to a city that in a county that really needs it, but they also apparently can give up the workers' taxes that will be paid to those entities, and that can be given to the corporation. I mean, this is unbelievable stuff. And you know that. And in the backdrop of all this, just to mention it, is this issue of the public lands, obviously, in the National Monuments Act, which has been one of the over the years most popular presidential prerogatives of being able to name specific areas to protect. In fact, George W. Bush has the largest entity ever named, which is a huge maritime in the Pacific, to protect the fishing and the life out in the Pacific Ocean.
So the ocean itself was part.
It was
part
the first
of
time it was named a national monument.
This goes back to Teddy Roosevelt.
Goes
right?
back to Teddy Roosevelt, and it's been used by almost every president to protect beautiful natural sites and historic sites. And then this one is particularly right what the Bears Ears one is, was to protect Native American sacred sites. And that was right at the very core of the beginning of the National Monuments Act, was to protect these sites from looting. And so it fits very closely to what was. So it's going to be a major, I'm sure, end up in the Supreme Court at some point. It's going to be a major thing. And it's very, very dangerous that if a president can come in and just start trashing this whole incredibly wonderful legacy that we have of national monuments and national parks. Who knows where this will end if you get the wrong people in who think of nothing but private property, gas and oil and metal mining.
Well, let's be clear. That's what this is.
That's what this is.
That's
really
why
about.
They're. Absolutely. That's why they're taking
free,
this out of the
and
mind.
Free
right.
rangeland. I'm more sympathetic to the free rangeland people. At least they are out there working the cattle, but themselves, as opposed to these very large corporations. But at any rate, it is a dangerous precedent, and is very important to look at what happens with this public lands issue. And so private gain, public loss, public cost.
Well, and here's a good reason why we should care about whether or not we are giving up tax dollars or could add tax dollars to our city budget. Because as it turns out, this year we have a surplus in the city government in Pittsburgh. And congratulations to our mayor, Bill Pedotto. I think that his administration is doing a wonderful thing. For years, they haven't been hiring any firefighters. That as firefighters have quit or retired or passed on, they haven't been replacing them, and have been working anywhere from 40 to 45 firefighters short to allegedly save money. Well, they don't really save money because the remaining firefighters have to pick up that work and get called back. And it turns out that over $17 million a year was being spent in overtime. Well, now that we have this surplus, they are actually They've actually hired 44 additional firefighters. And these aren't just measly, you know, minimum wage jobs. These are $40,000 to $60,000 good jobs. Right. Good jobs with good wages, benefits, pensions.
And you're saying so instead of paying overtime and putting that burden, and I'm sure at times I'm on firefighters currently, that you're able to hire some folks for full-time.
That
makes perfect sense to do.
And it makes perfect sense for several reasons. First of all, the basic principle of having only to work 8 hours, 40 hours a week should be the goal of every employer.
Especially a high-stress job like that.
Absolutely. And you know, the union agrees. And I really want to credit the president of Local 1, the president of Firefighters Local 1, Ralph Securo, he said there is obviously relief that the guys are not having to work so many long hours, not having to be away from home so many hours, sometimes days they're away, constantly having to miss special occasions with the family. That's the welcome part. So what he's saying is that, you know, it benefits all of the firefighters, not only the 44 new hires that they got a decent paying job with decent benefits, but it also helps the remaining firefighters by having a quality, dignified life, and so that they can be a responsible family member and a responsible community member. I really want to tip my hat off to the mayor, but I'm hoping that the bid that he put in for Amazon doesn't give the store away, where suddenly we're going to owe our soul not necessarily to the company store, but to Jeff Bezos and the Amazon store.
Well, it's interesting, too. You have an example here of public dollars being used for a public purpose, right, that also that benefits the community as a whole, as well as those individual workers. And on the other hand, you have, as you were talking about, Charlie, public funds being given away to a private entity. And it makes me think of two things. One, I think it was Minnesota where they presented in front of the city council up there this plan, and the city council member asked the company, so if we didn't give you this tax break, would you still come there? And they said yes, and they went ahead and voted to give them the tax break anyway. So it's not just tax breaks, right, that get companies to come.
Exactly.
But it's things like good city services.
Absolutely.
Like good firefighting.
Fighters, right.
That helps quality of life, which is why businesses locate. But when you starve the city of public funds by giving it away, then you end up starving those very city services that make for a good quality of life. It is going to attract business.
Well, and I think Rosemary should tell you how Jeff Bezos has reached a new milestone. That's
well,
very
yes,
important.
We now have, he's now a 100 billionaire. 100
billion.
Billion. Not a 1 billionaire, you know, but a $100 billion heir. And so it's not as if he couldn't himself put on all these subsidies with the stroke of a $99 billion check.
Then
and
he can
guess
never
what?
Spend in his life, even if he tried. Right?
And if he gave away $99 billion, he'd still have $1 billion to live on. I mean, come on, folks. I mean,
yeah. It's incredible.
This is time for these large corporations to step up and be a responsible community citizen of where they plant their work so that it does benefit all, including the workers and the community as a whole.
That sounds great. And on that note, we're going to have to wrap up. So this has been The Point of Pittsburgh. This is Nathan Morgan. It's my pleasure to be with Rosemary Trump and Charlie McAllister. Thank you both for being here.
Great to be here.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.